Very much.
But the nature is such that we're all so busy that we don't have time to put out anything, you know, too polished. And, you know, there's not really the market for anybody to make, to get rich on it either.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, where does that leave us? Well, it leaves us with really, you know, a quick and dirty block. Is there going to be a Grown Without Schooling too? If there's a Grown Without Schooling too, it will be done with this quick and dirty blog style. I've been toying around a lot with, you know, like shooting video off of my iPhone 4,
mm-hmm.
you know, which does high def video,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, shooting video off of digital cameras, because some of those things, you know, surprisingly, some of those things turn out really good quality on really cheap equipment. So
mm-hmm.
I've been toying with the idea of maybe doing it in a blog format, doing videos. I have shot some more footage lately, you know, visiting grown home schoolers, doing audio interviews, and I'm thinking about maybe putting it together as a mishmash of various formats. So I don't know if it would be a traditional video, you know, a documentary that you'd watch, you know, from start to finish, but there very easily could be more videos about grown home schoolers, yeah.
For sure.
Especially grown home schoolers now that they have kids.
That's another, yeah, that's the question I was going to say, that second generation, are you in touch with people who have kids, who are married, who are, like, the next generation raising kids, you know?
Yeah, I am. I'm in touch with a great number of grown home schoolers. I just talked to one a few days ago, Linda Young in Florida, and she, you know, in some regards, I look for what's different. You know, I look because that's where the story is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing everything the same, and then, you know, what makes it so interesting to write about or to interview? So, I mean, as I've been talking to these homeschoolers, I've been trying to sleuth out, well, are you doing anything different? You know, are you doing anything wild and crazy?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, in some regards, I'm disappointed because there's not a lot of wild and crazy going on. It's not dramatically different than what, you know, what their parents did and what, you know, people who aren't grown homeschoolers are doing. The one difference that I'm noticing so far has been that a lot of the grown homeschoolers I talk to are calmer. They're not as stressed about the process. You know, they're okay with their children reading late. They're okay with, you know, their children not knowing geography or being you know, following your interests, and maybe that looking a little scary at points.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a real calmness that I'm seeing, and also getting back to Linda Young and what I was about to say about her, you know, there is a little bit of talking with Linda Young last week. She did point out that sometimes there's a little alienation in the sense that, you know, she's around all these other parents who are, you know, maybe sending their kids to school. And a lot of things she's doing, you know, like family bed, and one of her kids is nursing somewhat later than most kids nurse, and, you know, then the homeschooling thing, and there's just this litany of somewhat unusual alternative parenting. Which, you know, when you look at the, you know, the children and you look at the family, you know, it seems all great. But,
yeah.
you know, it is the priorities and the values are a little different. And so what's kind of interesting is that you're seeing there what you see elsewhere with grown homeschoolers, which
mm-hmm.
is that, you know, they are charting their own course and they are doing things a little differently and not in a uniform different way. It's
mm-hmm.
not just, you know, they all do it the same way. It's that there's a lot more thinking about it individually, and sometimes the solutions they come to are a little bit different than the mainstream dominant society. So, you know, that's sort of, I think with a lot of the grown homeschoolers, that's something that they're facing and continue to face. You know, and it's not always in a bad way. Sometimes it's too competitive advantage. You know, you want to differentiate, especially in this economy. You kind of want to stand out.
Yeah.
So, you know, it definitely has its advantages. But, you know, if you just want to blend in and be like everyone else, I think that maybe homeschooling is not so good for being average and normal and
yeah.
doing things like everybody else does.
You know, there's been a bit of publicity and it's been kind of negative about, you know, some the way some people choose to educate kids at home. I think there was that Good Morning America segment that you know, portrayed the family that was kind of unschooling as just being irresponsible and everything. And I'm just wondering, in the States there, what kind of direction do you feel that home education's going, homeschooling's going? What would you, like, I mean, do you find that more people are doing it, or is it becoming more acceptable now, finally, or is it, you know?
Well, you know, to be perfectly frank, you know, one of the things that I've found with a lot of the grown homeschoolers is that, you know, at some point, we do try to assimilate. We do try to just almost, you know, downplay the homeschooling part. And I got to say, in the last few years, I've tried that. I've been a mainstream magazine editor, and I haven't been charting it very closely. So I don't know if I'm the best to talk about the nuances of where the movement is in 2010, but what I've noticed anecdotally and what I was seeing prior to that really was, you know, everybody knows a homeschooler, so we're well past the, you know, what is that stage, which we used to have, and, you know, at this point, I think I have a sort of pessimism, you know, the people that kept thinking that homeschooling was going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, I don't see that, because I think that, you know, it takes a lot of work to homeschool.
Yeah.
It really does. And it takes a certain level of dedication that not everybody's willing not everybody's willing to put in the time to do that, you know. And so I think it's always something that's going to be a minority activity, you know. It's going to have only a subset. And then I think that the numbers get blown up so much because you have a lot of, you know, school at home, and, you know, correspondence schools, and it's used a lot now for people who have, you know, either developmental issues or just aren't playing with the school system.
Right.
And so, I mean, you can slice it up in many ways, but I think you have to ask yourself, why are you doing it? I mean, that really defines, you know, the type of homeschooling, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a lot of people homeschooling. It's pretty well accepted, but it's a version of school at home in many cases.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I haven't seen what I see. I've not seen the doing it for philosophical alternative education reasons. You know, the self-directed learning. I don't think I have not noticed any trend with more people doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You might think that there would be, given the way that our workforce is evolving but you know, I haven't seen it yet now.
Wow.
There's still definitely a group, but it doesn't feel like it's exploding or anything.
But at the same time, I'm noticing my magazine articles, like in the Times and in the, you know, just whatever papers in New York. No, I'm just trying to think. There was a few magazines where I've noticed that articles coming out about the dropout economy and reasons why you shouldn't send your kid to school, to college, and all kinds of new, you know, like mainstream magazines talking about the world that we're heading into is not going to be a world that universities and schools prepare us for, right? So.
Oh yeah,
I'm finding it's becoming out a lot now. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of the college system and the way that we do institutionalized education, which, you know, really is no surprise.
Yeah.
You know, it always seemed a little strange to me that you'd go, you know, you go not you drop out of school, you homeschool, and then when you got to college, you go back into institutionalized education. It just seems that, you know, philosophically, that the reasons you would homeschool, or at least the reasons that I homeschooled, were, you know, they really were a critique of the institutionalization process.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't see them preparing us. College is preparing us. I did go to college.
Yeah.
I definitely went to college. It was a somewhat long and drawn-out process because I didn't really want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I did because I knew that I needed that degree, that certification.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that we do that's so... one of the things that the education system does that's so pernicious is that, you know, it ties certification to the way that you're educating. You know, there's a certain logic for the need for certification. I mean, you know, not every employer can you know, take the time to figure out if someone's qualified. So,
yeah.
You know, kind of need certification, sad as it is to lump people into little boxes.
Mm-hmm.
But the real sad part is that it should, in an ideal world, be a scenario where you can learn it any way you want it, just show us that you know it,
yes.
And then we'll certify you.
Yeah.
But, you know, sensing a business opportunity, at somewhere along the line, the educational apparatus, really restricted how we can learn.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go through, you have pretty much have to do college, and even the alternative colleges, you know, like Hampshire and Reed and Evergreen and even the alternative colleges are really variants on the traditional college model. So it really forces you to do it one way,
mm-hmm.
to get the certification, which is necessary.
Well, I'm finding
that's a real shame.
That's right, I am. But that I'm also, I mean, I've been talking to people that have decided, unschoolers, that, you know, homeschoolers, yeah. that just say no. Not going to university either, and they are finding ways to just be, to either learn trades, or which is still kind of a form of school, but just being more self-sufficient, more entrepreneurial, and, you know, I'm just wondering if you've noticed anything around that with the grown homeschoolers.
Oh,
as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of grown homeschoolers that have that critique, and some of them want to go to college, enjoy college, you know, it's a great experience for them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there are definitely a lot who have that critique, and some of that group, challenge you to try not to go to school. My read on the outcome most of the time is, you know, it does vary wildly,
mm-hmm.
but it's a challenge, you know, it's not, there are certainly, it's certainly not easy to skip college,
mm-hmm.
and I think a lot of, home schoolers I know will do it, like myself, will do it just because as much as we dislike it, we don't want to fight it for,
mm-hmm.
you know, again and again and again, and we don't want to fight that battle. We're a little tired of fighting.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are a number that have gone to that college, and I'm always excited to hear that. But then, a lot of the folks I've talked to, you know, you do see later on at some point a fair number of them struggle or question it, and the reason they do that, they don't always say, well, I should have gone to college, but a lot of times, between the lines, I'm hearing these grown homeschoolers saying, this is hard, you know, this is not as easy as it sounded.
Yeah.
You know, at first it sounded all right, I can just not go to school, I'll do the unschooling thing in college, it's pretty great. This is tough.
Yeah,
it's part of our culture,
right?
Yeah, that's the problem
with
culture.
It's
not that they're not learning, it's not that they, you know, aren't able to do it, but we're not set up as a society to recognize that, and so it's an uphill battle. It's an uphill battle to make a larger amount of money. You know, if the most successful grown home schoolers I've seen who have skipped college are those who live lightly. You know, they do, they're much closer to back to the land. They're much closer to, I don't need much.
Right.
Because it is hard to avoid. And that's a real challenge. And I'd like to think that, you know, we can get past that. But I don't know. You know, I'm somewhat pessimistic of changing the whole direction of society.
Yeah.
I'd be content just to carve out a little corner for myself.
For sure. So how do you define success then? Do you feel pretty successful in at this point in your life?
Yeah, you know, it's tricky. Some days I feel successful and other days I don't. And the days that I don't feel successful, the days when I'm making direct comparisons with my peers using their metrics,
mm-hmm.
you know, it really does come down to, you know, the fact that I'm in a society and, you know, every society has its values and what they consider success. And as much as you want to define it the way that you think makes sense, it's, you know, the dominant view of success is sort of, you know, heaped upon you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how I define success, I define success in how many loving relationships I have, you know, how many good, strong connections I have with people. I define success in what I accomplish, and if
mm-hmm.
I do it in a moral way that, I'm not doing ill to anybody, I define success in my, am I healthy? You know, I was just out to dinner with a good friend, who's not a grown-up scholar, and, you know, she's working herself to the bone. You know, she gets like 4 hours of sleep. She's you know, she's like constantly sick, and you know, her hair's falling out. You know, and she's an extreme case, but you know, it's you know, she's quote unquote successful, but I think that would be my definition of successful. You know, not just how much money you make. You know, I'm still a post materialist, like a lot of gold schoolers. You know, where I define it success beyond just, you know, how much material I can acquire.
So more quality of life, right?
Yeah. But at the same time, it is tough to always feel, to always live inside your definition of success.
Mm.
Because people are always looking at you and thinking that you're not successful. And I'm not saying people are always doing that with me, but sometimes I'll get glances or I'll get people who question it. And you know, if I'm playing by their metrics, some days I probably would fail. It is a constant struggle.
Yeah.
And I like to, you know, have some pat, you know, response or an easy answer to it. But there, I don't know if there is one.
Mm-hmm.
If you walk an individual path or a somewhat individual path, you know, that's kind of the price you have to pay.
Wow, that's so true. So the previous interview that we had done, that you mentioned how the quality that you notice about home-educated kids was that they pretty much were self-directed. They questioned a lot, and I think that's, you know, something that I've noticed with you as well. You all through this, you're very philosophical. You're, you know, really questioning, the idea that unschooling or self-directed learning or homeschooling is going to be is the way to go. You're brave enough to kind of really question that. That's not necessarily, because we hear the rah-rah, yay for homeschooling, but sometimes, you know.
Yeah. No, I still believe in homeschooling. This is certainly not one of those disillusioned interviews.
No.
I definitely still believe in it. I'm glad I was homeschooled. You know, I'm still plan to do that with my kids when I have the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that generally, you know, grown homeschoolers, you know, homeschoolers, especially unschoolers, do have more time to think about things and to think, to challenge. I think the challenging comes from the fact that, you know, they grew up not in school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pretty big challenge to a system that, until relatively recently, was unchallenged.
It's a huge challenge, yeah. Yeah.
And to do that, and to, it's hard not to internalize that on some level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you can question something that some people think is so fundamental. And, you know, assuming that you don't feel like you've been a failure, you come out and say, well, geez, I questioned it, and I'm glad I questioned it. What else can I question?
Yeah.
And so that, you know, I think that's part of why I like hanging out with people who have unschooled and homeschooled, because they're doing a lot of fun, interesting things. You know, not all of it's good. I mean, there's certainly some kooky behavior sometimes. There's certainly some failures along the line, but, you know, pound for pound, you know, there's a lot of experimentation. You know, there's a lot of trying things, a lot of open-mindedness, and that's a beautiful thing.
That is indeed, and I think that's, if we can at least have some influence on people that were not raised that way, you know, that I mean, just in that way, to be able to we are ourselves like a walking challenge to those people, you know. So I think in a way that's a good thing. It's a good thing to impart on society, I think, you know, just to give them that little challenge there.
One thing I've noticed in my own life in relation to that being a challenge, though, is that, you know, I think as a grown homeschooler, I've been a challenge my whole life, and I'm not alone, I think, in feeling like, geez, I've been challenging people have felt challenged by me my whole life, and I'm tired of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I have noticed, both in myself and with some of my unschooler friends, that it's a be the change you want to see in the world sort of example. You know, as Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way that I, at this point, I'm approaching it, and you know, a lot of my unschooler friends are approaching it. You know, it's less about having to convert the world, and it's more of a, you know, being a quiet example. And the reason it's partially a quiet example is not because any of us passionate about it, but just we're tired of fighting. If you want to do it, that's great. You know, look at our example. We think we're doing something kind of good here. But you know, I think as I get older, it's not that I lose I've lost any spark for it. I just don't need to. I fought it for so long. I got so many people to question it.
That's great.
Well, let someone else do that. Let Eli Gerzon do it, or someone like that. They're still passionate about doing it that way.
But then, you know, again, you're thinking about doing a blog, so you still have that interest is still there, isn't it?
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, I'm envisioning it. The blog site that should be appearing will be on schooler.com. Basically, there's like two parts to it.
Okay.
One part should be the real reason I'm doing it, which is to connect with other grown homeschoolers. And the selfish reason that I want to do this is because, yeah, they're doing really cool things, so I'm very interested in, you know, they're just fun people to be friends with.
Mm-hmm.
And also, because there is this, you know, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, there is this sort of the societal pressure to do it the way, you know, the dominant culture does it. And, you know, that can wear you down. So a good counterfall to that, and this is something that any minority group has, you know, most minority groups know this and do this, is, you know, some of the time you hang out with people who are thinking the same way you're thinking.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that's the selfish reason of why I want to do it. And that's perhaps what's really driving me is, you know, I just want to connect with people who are thinking similar ways. So, you know, the idea that sounds a little kooky to my friends who have gone to school, you know, it doesn't always sound as kooky to, you know, the other grown-home schoolers. And then the other half is just to give back. You know, there is a lot of things, you know, a lot of questions that, you know, parents and others, you know, have asked over the years. And, you know, a lot of that, I imagine that'll be the more static side of things. You know, that's been said. I have copious interviews and articles and writings and resources on that. So that side might not change as much. You know, let's slap it up. If you want to know if this works and you're curious about it, here you go.
Here. Yeah.
And for those of you who are actually doing it, let's have fun together.
It sounds amazing. I look forward to seeing something like that, for sure. I think it'll be very useful.
Yeah. It really just comes down to, I was in the New York Public Library today, and I was doing some research. It was not for class. It was not because a boss had told me to do it. It was not because there was a big skill that I was missing that I had to catch up on. Mm-hmm. I was in the New York Public Library studying a city in Malaysia entirely on my own. And I did this. I went there. I got out this two-volume set that you couldn't even check out of the library because it was so obscure and they only had one copy of it. And I was like one of the only people there doing that. And that really left an impression on me. And I was like, well, geez, you know, this is kind of weird. You know?
Where is everyone?
Me and a couple old guys in their 80s. It really reaffirmed to me that this love, the love of learning thing that we talk about, you know, all unschooling in parts, you know, love of learning, that it really is still there, even when sometimes it gets hidden away with all the external things going on. You know, there really is a love of learning there, and I'm still passionate about studying things, and I'm still willing to question. And those are two things that I think, you know, those are two lasting influences that the homeschooling has done for me.